Hello, everyone, and welcome to an Insanitech webinar. We have only one visitor today to join me, and that is Rebecca. Welcome. So, if you are coming later and you somehow didn't see the topic at the top of the blog post, today we are talking about selecting extras. This can include after-work groups. This can include the professional societies you're part of. This can include all of the things that take up time that don't involve just mere priorities. Also, if the noise outside gets on your nerves, please know that it is a tow truck that is incredibly close to my car, so I keep looking outside, and it's trying to tow a vehicle I've never seen before. But regardless, that's what the noise is outside. Beeping happens to be my significant other updating me about the weather because it is February here in Indiana and it's a shitstorm. We are experiencing snow, ice, sleet, hail, and unpleasantries. And he may or may not be coming home early to intrude in on my webinar. Regardless, let's talk about what we need to think about when we sign up for these extra things. Currently, I am part of the Indiana Geological Society. We meet once a month at a pub, luckily nearby my house, talk lectures, drink, eat, be merry, and chat from approximately 6 to 9. There's usually a lecture and things of that nature, so that's good. And something that's usually given by people in the field, so that way we can kind of keep abreast of what's going on. I'm also a head of a committee called STEM Scouts. STEM Scouts is part of the Boy Scouts division, so it's just something else to do with my time and encourage people to do more science. I've recently been invited to another thing called ScienTech. What? It's a lunch thing that happens every week on a Monday, and it lasts 2 hours. Do I really want to do that? Do I want to spend the money on lunch with people every single week? Especially when I've got a very defined budget. All these things play into consideration, and I'm sure you guys have a stack of invites. When I say a stack, I mean almost literally this size, of invites from various universities, professional clubs, and things of that nature. All saying you're perfect for a membership. You're perfect to pay their membership fee of however much it is. I used to be part of the AAAS Society, which was the American Association for the Advancement of Sciences. Very prestigious place. You know, they run Science Magazine. You know, the science magazine where a lot of people put a lot of stuff in there when they've published papers. And I didn't really get much out of it, to be honest with you. Not for $100. I could get all of the journals sent to my house, which are collecting dust. I never had time to read them. But I also had the digital form of them, which was nice. And I could then use those sorts of things. Now, there's the, like, I do believe I've seen the American Chemical Society, the American Society for Geographers, all of these things, little groups, big groups, national groups, worldwide groups. How do you decide? What is going to benefit you, your career, and your interests the most without breaking the bank? Yes. So serious, you had to push up the glasses. And I know that a lot of you have emailed me asking me for advice on this because money is finite and you know that I'm exceptionally frugal. Well, it comes down to this. They just left and they didn't hit my vehicle. I'm quite happy with this. So it comes down to this. Resources are finite. And that means your time, your money, what you contribute to. They didn't just leave. And so you need to really think about where you want your resources to go, which means you need to get clear of the things that are your priority first. Talk to yourself, quite literally out loud if needs be. Talk to your family. Talk to them about what exactly your goals are for this year. you can drop these things as soon as the membership is over with. So think of it in terms of year long. Like, if your goal for this year is to get a promotion in your career, then you can do that. And my phone is blinking and driving me nuts. But, you know, you go for it. Your career, or do you want to improve your health? How about your lifestyle? What does your family need to be able to grow and to reach their dreams? So really what you want to do is sit down first and write down your visions for each, and then see what you want for your goals, what you want to work on specifically this year to be able to do things, whether it's career, family, health, personal growth, whatever. So you start there. And then grow and expand that specific thing and ask, what do you want that to look like? For example, if you say, I want to grow my career, I want to be at a specific university, or I want to have affiliations with people in these specific industries, those would be the sort of explicit things that you would say. Not, I just want to have X amount of dollars within the next year. That's a bit vague because it's not necessarily guaranteed. You want to aim for something that you can really work with. Money is good. Numbers are good. Benchmarks are good. But also look at things that you can do. My goal for this year is to, my money goal, I should say, is to learn how to get sponsorships. And for that, I also need to up my networking skills and ask people, do you want to be able to get to know them well enough to say, do you want to sponsor this? You know, workshop labs, things of that nature. Yes, Rebecca, I understand it's always over the top because it's hard to decide. Here's a few categories you can look at though. Career, money, health, lifestyle, family, love, personal growth. That's seven categories. What is your career goal? What is your money goal? Do you have a health goal in mind right now? Like, I'm losing weight, so my health goal for, you know, that I can do every day is to work out. Strength and cardio, it's not that complicated, as well as look at my, you know, and my lifestyle changes. Eat healthier, which means more home-cooked meals, which means I have to carve out time for that. What are your goals for your family? Maybe you want to spend more time with them in your local environment, or maybe as a family you decide that you want to go take one big trip. Maybe that would work, something you all want to do together. What is your goal for love? If whether you're in a relationship or not, is your career getting in the way of your aspirations for that? And personal growth, this could be spiritual, it could be, you know, just mindful, such as reading new books, etc., things of that nature. So those are the goals, that you want to have goals in each one of those things. And these will all, even the love and the personal growth, will come in handy when you're looking at what you want to do with your extracurricular time. For example, if the geology meetings didn't help me with my love of geology, learning about the rocks and the things in my state and things of that nature, it would not be helping my personal growth because my interests are learning things about the state that I live in right now. And because if it didn't apply to these goals in more than one way, it would not be worth my time. But we'll get into that. So take a moment and just kind of reflect briefly on one of those seven and see what you think you need to do. While you do that, I'm going to check my messages because my phone beeped like 30 times and I'm going to guess that's my husband telling me he's going to come home early and interrupt the webinar. Nope. It was him basically saying, hey, what's going on outside? I could see it on the ring that something's going on. So what do you got, Rebecca? Health? Yes, health. as from Princess Bride, if you haven't got your health, you haven't got anything. So, health, do you have a specific with that? Want to have more energy? That's always good. Ignore that for a moment. So, a checklist to run against the opportunities that you have. In the handout that came with this lecture, and you'll be getting the link later on, I want you to take a word of caution first. Know yourself and know your limits. If you run your opportunities through this checklist and they meet what you actually need, you could potentially still be overwhelmed if you don't know how much time you need to devote to specific things to make all of those moves forward actually work. I mean, my husband's a perfect example. He said, oh, it'll only take 5-10 minutes. 35 minutes later, he's still doing the task because he didn't really understand how long something takes. He's a little bit optimistic that way. And I have run into so many people that have had this problem where they don't really consider how much time a particular thing would take from them. That's one of the reasons why I don't do Women in High Tech, which is a society here in Indianapolis, and that's because they want to meet at least once a month. They want to do all of these hands-on opportunities. They want us to volunteer our time and our efforts for an entire day event at various places around the city to help out kids and things of that nature. It's beautiful. I just don't have that much time available to be able to do that sort of thing. So I chose not to. But on the other hand, if you don't know how much you can handle, I recommend giving it a shot. You gain the knowledge of yourself at the very least, and you'll also gain what you can from the different societies. You'll get an inside working of them, and you'll be able to kind of give it an honest shot and be able to see where you stand, where it stands, and how they interrelate to one another, and if it can truly help you. If it can't, do not feel guilty about the money that you spent and not sticking with it. Your health, your sanity is far more important. So the checklist. Does it help your goals reach your priority goals in more than one way? I had mentioned earlier that health is a big thing for me this year. I'm trying to get in shape. I was at 236 pounds. Now I'm at 222 pounds. And that comes from virtue of exercising consistently every day, whether it be a handful of strength moves and 20 minutes of walking or 30 minutes of cardio or yoga, an hour of yoga, but something every day. This has impacted my lifestyle by what I'm eating as well as what I'm moving and things of that nature. This can also affect my money. For example, tonight is the geology meeting and they meet at a pub, and this could impact my health. If I don't choose something healthy, it can impact my lifestyle because I'm actually eating something that wouldn't be good for me. And it could impact my money because I'm spending money on food that I didn't necessarily plan for. But it's good for my career because I'm networking with others in my field, and it could help me with jobs. It could help me with networking with people who want to help out with other things that I'm doing. And I'm also going with my husband, so it's helping the family. It's also helping personal growth. So you see how it has that kind of balance between the different categories. If it only applies to one, you might want to put it in the area that says, I'll think about it, but it's probably not going to be a priority right now. Another example I can give to this is the Geological Society of America. I love those guys. Obviously, I'm a geologist. It's my career. But they don't meet very often in Indianapolis. They don't have a regional meeting here. And to get to a meeting, even my regional meetings once a year, it costs time, it costs money. And I don't get much in return from it to build my career or to network with people or even for personal growth. So I often opt not to apply with that one, because I would only get maybe a little bit of information and personal growth because I'd have access to their online journals. But what can I say? This is just the way it goes. then you want to dig down deep. Once you have those sorted out and there are the piles of really good chance, not so much, but maybe, and oh no, oh hell no, throw away the hell no. It just because they don't fit with your priority goals. It's not because they're a bad organization or whatever. It's just because they don't fit with your goals right now. And trust me, they will continue to send out the letters. They always do. And if you go to the website, or if you put the name in a database that you might have to go back and check later, you can get rid of those letters and then go back at those things later. So the mission of the organization that fits with your values and interests. This is very, very important. There have been times when I have thought, this is great. This is amazing. I was looking at it with pie eyes. I was overzealous. I thought it would be amazing. And then I got to know them better and was like, you're really not as great as you think you are. This happened with AAAS. They're prestigious. Yes. I had a way in. Yes. I chose not to stay with them because they are too market focused. They have an idea. They want to push a specific agenda and a bias, and anything that flies in the face of that, even if there is evidence, they will not look at. And thus, what would be the point? I'm about knowledge and honesty and integrity, and they wouldn't look at things that didn't coincide with the mission, with the things that they wanted to say, with the way that they wanted to portray the world and the specific things going on in a political sense. I didn't want anything to do with them after that until they stopped being so biased, and then I might consider giving them more money. But until then, no. So look through your yeses and your maybes and resort them. And see if there's ones that rank higher in this sort of thing. If you have a maybe that is a very nice with your professional interests and values, you would keep that one, and then the rest of them push off to the side as a probably not. And then you want to look at how can these that are left grow your network, both in a professional and personal way. Do you have easy access to forums that you can communicate with other scientists in your field? Do you have a way that you can look at job listings or get job training or things of that nature? Do they have things that can add value to your life? And I have an independent bullet point list on this thing on the handout that you would get. It's, can you get research materials like journals and online materials, etc.? Events where you could network, take classes and things of that nature. Discount codes that you can use for a variety of things. Most of them have ones for like Staples or marketing places. Like, I always forget the names of them, like Imprint or Visa Print. Where you would get marketing materials like pens or business cards, things like that. Forums where you can get others to ask for your help or advice, networking. I'm having problems with fixing my Metlatilato microbalance. Has anybody ever had this problem? I don't want to send it in because it's going to cost too much. These are the sorts of things that you want to look for. You can also look for things like financial help. I know that the GSA, the Geological Society of America, does grants, whereas the geological Indiana geologists do not do grants, but I'm affiliated with the Indiana geologists because I don't need grants. And half the time they don't even give them to people like me who are running a business. They give them to people like a college student. So these things could potentially flip you yes or no. Do they have a job listing thing for things in your field that could help you get ahead and also help your family? And of course, you also want to look for discussions about what's going on in your field that are open so you can stay a step ahead of things. One of the things that I found the most beneficial is classes. Classes to expand your skills. I usually join the GSA whenever they're going to be in my area. rejoin, I should say, because they usually do classes which are quite useful. And these are the different things that you want to look at before you basically go, yes, no, and then you want to resort them, of course, again, and then, you know, you're sorting them down because, you know, you have your pile of yeses, but if they don't check those things that are important to you, for example, is research materials very important to you? And they don't offer it. It would go from the yes to the potentially maybe, but probably not. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you would move to the next thing. I agree, Rebecca. Skills expansion is very important, especially as you get more and more into the field. So another thing you might want to look at is it within your budget? Not just the sign-up fees, but also to take advantage of these things that they offer, you know, like going to meetings. Are they in your budget? You know, if you have to drive halfway across the state for a meeting with your local group, is it really worth it? But they might have regional smaller meetings that you could do, or you might be able to facilitate one within the thing and it wouldn't be against the rules. So the last thing that you would check really is that spending resources on this goes well and beyond the free versions of the same or similar organizations. Lots of scientists meet online. Lots of scientists, you know, talk to each other on a regular basis. So you have to do a little bit of work on that. But if spending your resources, your time and money to network and get with these people doesn't go well above and beyond what you can do for free, even if it's within a different organization or a similar organization or two organizations, then it may not be worth it. Yes, and by resources, I mean your time and your money or the goods that you contribute to it. For STEM Scouts, they often ask me to volunteer. They want me to call some people next week to say, thank you for volunteering with us. Is there anything that you need? Oh, and by the way, we're running a fundraiser. Please donate. But, you know, it's the way the STEM Scouts are. They're 100% non-for-profit, and thus most of the money that they bring in it helps the marketing, it helps some of the programming, and it also lines the pockets of the administrators and things like that to keep things going. Yes, there are a lot of places. At the end of my college years, I had a stack of papers in envelopes about this big, inviting me to be a member of this group, that group. It helps when you're interdisciplinary, which means that you get invites for a lot of things. I got invites for geographers, geologists, archaeologists, chemists, and I didn't even know half these places existed. But remember, they need your money. They are non-profits half the time. They're always on fundraising drives. They want your money, and they offer very little in return for what you know, it seems like they offer very little in return. Most of what they offer directly from the organization costs them very, very little. So it's up to you to make the most of it. You need to look at how to network and grow your career and your profession in both and your personal circle, people and friends that you can talk to with what they offer. So before you say, yes, here's my checkbook, think about it. And that will take you a long, long way. So with the last 10 minutes of our meeting, what questions do you have? While you think and type that in the thing, I'm going to once again check what the beeping is and make sure he's not coming home to annoy me. apparently he was complaining about a racist ad on YouTube that he got. Hilariously, where he's at is in Boston. And he doesn't live in Boston. It's just that his IP address is in Boston. And they had a very loud ad that was pretty much anti-Spanish people being able to think independently and vote for who they wanted to. They said they, it basically implied that they had to vote Democratic or else, which was very strange, to be honest with you, because Indiana is known for having a lot of migrant workers, especially those, like, we have some on the family farm as well. And they're pretty intelligent people. I mean, I wouldn't tell them who they could and couldn't vote for. Their life is their own. Anyway, regardless of politics, we're talking about how to spend time and money to grow ourselves and our resources, you know, our careers, our personal circles of friends and people we can rely on. So, Rebecca. So the question that we have, this is for later because nobody will see the chat, is discount codes. From what I've seen, you can get them on rental vehicles, sometimes hotels. The standard fare that you'd find if you were to ask your bank for discount codes of things that they are affiliated with, it would also be the standard discount code that you might get if you were to share like your affiliate code from some service you get. Like I use a Sips by Tea subscription service and I get a box of tea every month. And if I gave people my code, they would save $5 off the first box and I would get $5 on mine. And that's pretty much how those discount codes work. You can find them all over the place. Sometimes you can find better. So once again, if you're doing research on this, just know that they exist, but they're not necessarily, you know, like the best thing in the world. They're probably more cheaper affiliate accounts. Why did I decide to go with the local ones? Because I have been really thinking about growing my local influence and who I can work with, things of that nature. And that's pretty much where it came from. And they're enjoyable people. So I enjoy to meet with, I enjoy meeting with them once a month. I almost got a job out of it. Unfortunately, Purdue screwed me over on that. And that is one of the retirees and, you know, retired geologist wanted to hire me to do some soils work for him, but I needed to have a state soils license. I couldn't get that because the committee board there has decided at the last minute that I needed to take a soil morphology class regardless. And I also needed to take a soil fertility class. Now, these were the classes that they demanded I take. So, don't need them. I mean, I know what soil morphology is from geology, but because it didn't come from agronomy, they don't want to believe that I can do it. And thus, my connection with the geologists are solid. Not necessarily the soil sciences, which I still need to work on. I need to persuade them that us geologists are not dumb in the way of soils. And that would come through with networking and forums and these sorts of things, if I could find them. What is a good amount of time to spend on these? Well, that depends on you, Rebecca. How much time do you have between career obligations, family obligations? And I do mean family obligations, all of them. I will be hopefully getting my first child in October, as in we'll be trying to have one starting soon. So I don't have the complications that I know you do because you have two little ones, correct? Oh, three, sorry. Three little ones. Toddlers are full of energy. They demand a lot of attention. maybe if it was something that you and your husband like to do, you could use it as a date night and have them stay at Grandma and Grandpa's for a night. That would give you some time. It really comes down to your personal life. I limit myself by a rule that I once read about, and that was some people tithe money, other people tithe time. I don't have much money, but what I do have is knowledge and skills that I can pass on. So I tithe approximately 10% of my time to charity, whether that be STEM scouts or free tutoring appointments, something of that nature. And that often takes up a lot of time. I mean, if you think about it, that is 10 hours a week, maybe. No, 10 hours a month. So if you're going to take 10 hours a month to tithe to an organization, and you're going to look for ways that you can use it to help build yourself up, but that's 10 hours a month. I go to the geology meetings, it's 3 hours. That's 1 hour. STEM Scouts meeting is 1.5 hours, so that's 4.5 hours. That's already half of my tithing time. That gives me another 5 hours that I can donate to a variety of community events, whether it is helping children out, whether it's helping young adults out, whether it is cleaning up the streets for some for some environmental thing. So think about what works for you, your life, and how you can make more of it. Example, if you wanted to somehow combine health with your outings. Going off on a limb here, because I just learned that Indiana had a mushroom hunting club. That involves hiking. That's good for your health. There you go. So how you do it all depends on you, but I honestly say no more than 10% of your available time, simply because it's really hard to balance what they'll take, what you can give, what you have already going on in life, and all the things that everybody else will demand from you. It's really difficult. And then be flexible, because things will change over the course of the year. They always do. Yes. Well, we've got 4 more minutes. Do you have any more questions? And can you think of any questions that people might ask later on when they do this? For anybody watching this at a later date, because this is a blog style, it'll be going up in the blog, hidden, so that way only members can view it, but there should be a way to comment down below. You get the video, you get the audio, and you get the handout that I keep referring to. And under that is a comment section. There should be a comment section, at least as long as the website hasn't freaked out on us. And you can access all of this information and give us feedback. Ask questions. If you're not attending live, you can always ask questions. And I do read, respond, and help you out there. Okay, Rebecca asks, how much money are these things usually going to cost? I have seen costs anywhere between, $15 for the geology thing that I do, the STEM Scouts thing is free. It just costs my time, which is approximately 1.5 hours a month minimum, because they often ask me to volunteer. And then I have seen, so if you wanted to take that times whatever your hourly wage is, so let me do some quick math here. So I'm just going to round up, because usually they ask me to make phone calls or something. So 3 hours times 25, $75 a month for STEM Scouts. And while it's not money, that would be my time, and time is money. So there's that. And then, of course, I've seen some of the professional associations well up into the hundreds of dollars. Like, I think there was one that came across my desk that was $125 a year. I usually budget around $200 a year for myself, and I try to also budget in around $50 for my employees to be able to join us, to take off some of that of a, you know, some of the burden of them, so that way they can join a potential society as well and help out their careers as well. So I usually just budget about $200 and then kind of go from there. I roll it over every year just in case there's something I want to do, and eventually if I have enough, it'll take allow me to be able to take a trip somewhere. So if one of the meetings is, say, in Seattle, I jump on a plane and fly out there for a couple of days and then jump on a plane and come back. Not that I'll be doing much traveling while the coronavirus is going on. I'd rather not be stuck in a fuselage with people that may or may not be ill. I always get a cold as flu anyway. Right. It is 3 o'clock. I must head out. I just heard my alarm go off in the other room, which means that I have to get to a class soon. Many blessings, and I hope that you find the right extracurricular activities that will lead you to everything you wish. Remember, if you are watching this after the fact, you can always comment in the blog, and we'll get back to you. Ciao.